Turn there this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where God talks about our body. The word body or bodies shows up more in 1 Corinthians than any other book in the Bible, which is very interesting. 39 times in 1 Corinthians, body or bodies shows up, sometimes talking about our body, sometimes talking about the body of Christ, but very prominent theme, and one that we can learn a lot about today in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 6. God says, "Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So notice in verse 20, he says, your body. So our title is your body. But then I put in parentheses, or God's body. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you would work miracles in our hearts as we contemplate this great truth today, that we belong to you. I pray we would live such. I pray that lives would be changed through the power of your word. Lord, for someone not saved, they would be changed forever through salvation in Jesus Christ. That we would, Lord, truly be submissive to your will in our hearts through today's time in your word. Bless the children's church on the other building as well. Thank you for meeting with us today. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So, five things we see in this beautiful passage about our bodies. The first one there in verse 13, our bodies are to be used for God. Notice he says, meats for the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication. The body is not, once we're Christians, it's no longer something that we are supposed to please or satisfy. It's now, as it says there, for the Lord. Our bodies are for him. And it says, and the Lord for the body. And so the first thing you see is our bodies are now to be used for God. And we see this many times in Scripture, but let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 12, if we could quickly. That once we are Christians, our bodies are to be used for God. Notice Romans chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So yield, or let your bodies be used for God. We're told in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So the very obvious and first thing we see about this whole passage is that our bodies, once we are Christians, are to be used for God, not for self. Our bodies aren't to be pleased anymore with sin. And then the second thing we see in verse 14 is that one day God is going to raise up even our body. Now in the interim, if you're saved and you die, God gives you a temporary body. We read about that in 1 Corinthians 15. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." But one day he's going to rejoin our soul with our current body, no matter where it is, no matter where each atom is, in the sea, ashes spread around. It doesn't matter. That none of that matters to God. He says that, verse 14, he will raise up us by his own power. He's talking here about the resurrection, the new body that we all long for. Back to Romans again, chapter 8 this time, verse 23. The day that you were saved, your soul was redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And your spirit as well. But your body, not yet. Nothing changed with the body, did it? It still gives us trouble. It still gives us aches and pains. It still tempts us to do wrong. And the older we get, the worse those things are. Notice Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Our soul's been redeemed, but we're waiting for the redemption even of our body. When we get this new body that's been transformed, if you go to Philippians 3, the Bible will explain this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. And we're told that this new body will be, it'll be our old body, it will be transformed into like Christ's body. Notice Philippians 3, 21. Who shall change our vile body, that's the one we currently live in, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Talking about the post-resurrection body of Jesus Christ, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And then one more, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44 talks about this new body, refers to it as a spiritual body. Notice it says here, 1 Corinthians 15, 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So this body that we find ourselves in, this shell, it gives us so much trouble. One day we'll be raised up, transformed into the same type of body that Christ had after he rose from the dead. But that's yet in the future. For now, we get to fight. Amen. So the two things we see so far, our bodies, for Christians, we're to be using them for God and not for self. Secondly, one day we'll get a new or transformed body. It'll be redeemed. And then thirdly, verse 15 of our passage, 1 Corinthians 6, it says that our bodies are now the members of Christ's body. Notice it says, verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? And we often think about our soul being part of the body of Christ, but not often do we think about our body being part of the body of Christ. But that's what it says, isn't it? Your bodies are the members of Christ. And we know 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit you are all baptized into one body. But again, when we hear verses like that, we think our soul pretty much becomes part of the one body of Christ. But this says even our bodies become the members of Christ. So let's look at this in Ephesians 3, if we could. Ephesians 3, verse 6. And so we see that our bodies are to be used for God, that our bodies will one day be transformed into the likeness of the body of Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead. And thirdly, that they have become, once we're Christians, the members of Christ. Notice Ephesians 3, 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Look at Ephesians 5, 30. It says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And so if you're born again Christian, your body is part of Christ's body. You are a member of Christ. How all that works, we can't comprehend, can we? because God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But we know it's true because he's telling us so, that our bodies are now the members of Christ. And so they're to be used for God. One day we'll get a transformed body, and that they are part of the body of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 18 of our passage, flee fornication. When the Gentile converts were being confused by the Judaizers who were coming through and saying, it's good that you've trusted Christ, it's good that you're saved, now you need to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And they didn't know any better. They didn't have scripture yet. All they knew is what they'd been told. And so they came to the apostles and said, what do we do about this? And the apostles had a big Bible conference in Acts chapter 15 and said, what do we tell all these Gentile believers? What do we Jewish apostles tell them? And they said, no, you're not bound to keep the law of Moses. No, you don't have to keep the Sabbath. No, you don't have to get circumcised. But you do need to avoid fornication. That's for sure. And that was one of the commands that they gave these Gentile converts. Why? Because as he explains there, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. God doesn't say that about any other sin. Our bodies are going to do their best to lead us astray. That's the facts. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He said, I've constantly have to bring my body into subjection because it's constantly giving me trouble. I've got to keep it under wraps, if you will. And part of that is the fourth reason, verse 19, or the fourth beautiful truth, is that our bodies are now the temple of God, which is absolutely fascinating and beautiful. Verse 19, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? If you're a born again Christian, the day you got saved, the Holy Ghost moved in. Let me put it another way. The day you got saved, God moved in the person of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we forget the Holy Ghost is God, the creator of the universe, the omnipresent, omnipotent one, moved in and made us his temple. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:17. This is a very sobering truth for Christians, that our bodies are now the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:17, If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. God takes this very seriously. Amen? Grieve not, we're told, Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are now the temple of God. Our bodies are the temple of God. One of the reasons why we need to keep it under control, like Paul said, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. So our bodies are to be used for God now that we're Christians. Our bodies will one day be transformed into the likeness of the body of Jesus Christ. Our bodies are the members of Christ, and our bodies are the temple of God. Hard for us to comprehend sometimes. And it explains why sometimes our prayers don't seem to be getting through. It's because we've allowed sin to grieve the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And it's the Holy Spirit who helps us with our prayers, isn't he? Romans 8:26. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit, it says, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He helps us with our prayers, but if he's being grieved, if he's being quenched because of sin, because the temple that he is indwelling isn't kept pure, it's going to affect our prayer life. It's going to affect our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. So it's a very sobering point that our bodies are the temple of God. And then our fifth point this morning is in verse 20. For you are bought with a price. What was that price? It was the death and the blood, the perfect Son of God. There's been no greater price paid in the history of the world than the price Jesus paid for us. Therefore, because you've been bought with this amazing payment of the blood and the death of Jesus Christ, therefore, what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our last point is, if you're a Christian, God owns you, and that includes your body. It's not yours anymore. It's His. Even though He says there in verse 20, in your body, He finishes by saying, it's God's. It's God's body. He paid for it. He didn't just pay for our soul and our spirit. He paid for our body too. And He owns it now. Which is why we should be using it for only Him. Which is why we should be keeping it under control. Which is why we should be keeping it pure, because it is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Because it's His. Now look at Romans 12:1. Most of us have this verse memorized, I know. But we often, when we quote it, don't think about the fact that the word bodies is in the verse. Notice it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your what? Your bodies a living sacrifice. Even though we have it memorized and think about this verse often, we often don't catch that point. We think about, oh, yeah, we need to make our soul a living sacrifice. In other words, who we are, our person. But that's not what the verse says, is it? It says our bodies, this shell that's getting old and falling apart and causing pain and constantly leading us astray. That is what God is telling us we need to be giving to God as a living sacrifice. Because that's what we act out through, isn't it? When our tongue says something wrong, that was our body, but it was our soul controlling our body and telling it to say something wrong. And when we do something wrong with our hands and our feet or our eyes or whatever, so it's the body, He says, to present to God a living sacrifice. Why? Because it's already His. It's already His. And in 2 Corinthians 5:10, a very sobering truth, if you want to turn there quickly. And so just to review, what have we learned this morning about our body, which is actually God's body? Number one, it's to be used for God. Used for God exclusively. Number two, one day it'll be transformed into the likeness of Christ's body. Number three, it is now the member of Jesus Christ, part of Christ. Number four, it is now the temple of God. And lastly, God paid for it with the blood and the death of His Son. Therefore, we're to glorify God because it's His. It's His body. Notice 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His what? Body. Done in His body. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account for what we did in our body. God bought it. God paid for it. God moved in and then dwelt it the day we got saved. What do we do with it? Did we use it for His glory, as it says here in this passage? Did we use it for the Lord, as we read there in verse 13? Or did we use it for self? And God gave us a free will, and it's our decision, even after we're saved. The Holy Spirit moves in, praise God, and He convicts, and He leads, and He helps, and He comforts. But He never twists our arm, and He never forces us to do anything. That's up to us to make that decision every day, as Paul said, to bring it into submission, because It doesn't work that we can just go to the altar once and it's done. It'd be nice. We go and say, okay, Lord, I know it's your body, and from this day forward, I'll never do anything wrong with it. Wouldn't that be great? But then tomorrow comes. The body says, I'm still here, and I'm still going to cause you trouble. So, what a great truth that our bodies belong to God, that our bodies are the temple of God, that our bodies are part of God, the members of Christ. So not only do they belong to Him, but they are now His temple and they're part of Him. All of those things become true about our bodies, which is why we should use them only for Him. To what? Verse 20, glorify God. Like we just sang. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do with your body, I threw that in there, do all to the what? Glory of God. Is it your body or is it God's body? Well, it's God's body, but is that how we act, that it's God's body, or do we act like it's ours? The choice is always ours. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder that our bodies belong to you, that our bodies are part of Jesus, that our bodies are your temple, that our bodies look forward to being made new one day. But Lord, may we live as if it is your body. Let you control it. Let you run things. Lord, that we wouldn't live for self, but we would live for the one who moved in, bought us, made us part of him. And Lord, that would be our goal every day, that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice. So Lord, may this be real in our walk. And when we slip up and make a mistake, may we get it right as quick as possible and carry on bringing glory to God in our bodies. Thank you for speaking to our heart. We love you in Jesus' name.